The following podcast is brought to you by the Station of the Cross. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Calling All Catholics, a program where you can ask a priest your questions on the Catholic faith or make a prayer request. We invite your call at 1-877-511-5483. You can also email us at cac@thestationofthecross.com or post to our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Calling All Catholics on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. I'm Steve Cabral, here for our Open Forum Thursday edition of the program. And today, from the Diocese of Rochester, we have Father Mike Mayer. Good afternoon, Father Mike.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Could you start us off, please, Father, with a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, we ask you to shower upon us your healing blessings, that we may be healed of our sins, of whatever it is that keeps us away from you, so that we in turn may go out and heal others in your name. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to speak to Father Mike Mayer today, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call right now. 1-877-511-5483. That's 1-877-511-LIVE. The email address, cac@thestationofthecross.com. Or you can post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Well, Father Mike, there's so much happening this week, not only Independence Day, but the Catholic bishops had a convocation down in Orlando, Florida this past weekend. And I know there were a lot of lay leaders as well as clergy that went down for this convocation, and it focused on evangelization. And we'd love any listeners that may be out there right now who attended the convocation, we would love to hear from you and give us a call and let us know what kinds of things, what you took away from the conference. We would love to know. But what have you heard, Father, about what went on in this convocation this week?
Well, since it's still relatively recent, I haven't read too much on it. I know Sherry Weddle was there, and she was obviously focusing on evangelization with Forming Intentional Disciples, her big book, and another one of her books just came out. And I know the guys from St. Paul Street of Evangelization were there, you know, to see what's going on there. I think Jim Havens, I believe, was down there for the conference. I had to be invited, I believe, by your bishop. I wasn't invited, so
that's why I wasn't there.
I would have loved to have gone, or just be a fly on the wall. But to have this let me be blunt, I guess. I love these sorts of gatherings, but I'm always kind of skeptical what's going to come of it. Because I've been to convocations before, especially in our own diocese or gatherings, and oftentimes some really good material gets stirred up and people get excited, but there's no follow-up. There's no focus. Okay, what did you hear that you really think is a keeper that we need not only to pray about, but actually to sit down and see if we can implement it somehow? Because all these ideas, if they're just floating around, are not going to do us any good. And there's so many good ministries out there. So many. I mean, Sherry Weddle with her St. Catherine of Siena Institute, St. Paul Street Evangelization, local organizations that are doing wonderful outreach work. so how do we connect them? I suppose the bishops hopefully will be held accountable for this, that they'll have some kind of action agenda based on this, and hope it's not just a kind of a four-day get-together that pumps people up, but really is going to lead us somewhere. Because when I look at our country and our world, and I talk with people, and when we're on the streets, we were at the Geneva Public Market today evangelizing. There was a man who's a policeman in Brazil who was there. He's visiting. There was a group from Holland, and a young man took a rosary. He said he knew it. Unfortunately, I didn't have the mysteries in Dutch, but he did speak English. So, you know, people all over the world traveling, and I see so much need for the good news to get out there. But at times it's like we just go through our own routine, which is comfortable, and we don't think beyond it. What's the purpose of the job I have? What about my family? What am I doing in terms of evangelizing them? So forth and so on. So, it'd be wonderful to, get some real direction from our bishops.
You know, it's interesting that so many of these non-Catholic, Protestant denominations, they really know how to evangelize. They're
yes.
willing to go mm-hmm. out in the streets, they're knocking on doors, We've probably all gotten those knocks on the doors from, whether it be, Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or somebody else who
absolutely
they're willing to do that. Why do you think the Catholic Church or just haven't been kind of inspired to do those kinds of things? Of course, you're doing it with St. Paul's evangelization.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's because I think the success of the Catholic Church, the fact that there's over a billion and that it's on every continent, and at least up and through maybe the early 60s, our churches were full and lots of things were going on. I think we still have that mentality. We didn't make the transition. Actually, we're not making a transition. It's going back to our roots, which are missionary roots. That's why the church is on every continent, because of missionaries. I said on the feast of Peter and Paul, because of St. Irenaeus, because of Irenaeus going from Turkey to Paris to work as a priest, we are literally at Mass celebrating the Eucharist because of people who are willing to let go of everything and go here and there. Whereas today, just to go down the street or go next door to your neighbor and talk to them, find out what's going on, offer prayer for them. It's like, it's just not part of what we're thinking of. And yet we are a missionary church. We always will be. We have to. And I think if we can renew that missionary outreach, that sense of we have a mission, and that's what Jesus said, go out to the whole world and proclaim the gospel. He didn't say go home, build churches, et cetera, et cetera, but rather proclaim the gospel. Go out, go out, go out. And I think we've lost some of that initiative, at least in the developed nations, in the industrialized nations.
Another aspect of this that kind of concerns me is sort of evangelizing our own so that we're keeping the people, so that we're not losing people, because it seems like there are as many ex-Catholics nowadays as there are Catholics. And that is also another evangelization opportunity, that we bring back those who have left the church or even keep them from leaving in the first place.
No, you're absolutely right. And even people who come, as I think it was G.K. Chesterton said, just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car, an automobile. Mm-hmm. It's something we do. Now, at the heart of it, something's there, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the individual truly is a believer or is convicted, so to speak. So there again, too, and many people who are in thriving parishes, they're saying you have to think outside the box. You can't look at the way the parish has operated for years and still use that same blueprint. You got to change it. And so those people who have gone to evangelical conferences, who wrote the book Rebuilt and Divine Renovation, they've looked at what is working out there, and they've had to change the way things are done in the parishes, which means for a lot of people, they walk away because I don't want to get involved in that way. So they misunderstand the faith. But we need to shake up the kind of routine administrative structure that is the parish and make it into a kind of a nuclear power base where we get our training and this, that, and the other thing, celebrate the sacraments, worship, and then go out and evangelize.
Another aspect of evangelization, I'm just looking at an interesting quote from Archbishop Chaput of Philadelphia, who's saying that healing is also a vital part of the new evangelization. What do you think healing, the role of healing would be in the new evangelization?
Yeah, I look at my own life. I look at my past. I look at what I've done, what I've not done. And I know there are areas where, even though I may have been forgiven for sins or whatever it is, or, you know, wounds, you know, that may have been created in me, whatever, there is sometimes a scar tissue that forms around it, or we tend to carry that baggage. And now, fortunately, God is not limited by time, so he can walk right back into our past and be healed. But I think that with many people that I talk with, when I talk with them in confession, in spiritual direction, it seems that many, many, well, Henry Nouwen wrote the book, Wounded Healer. I think that says it all. We are wounded. Do we know our wounds? Are we getting them treated by the divine physician? Are we taking advantage of the healing sacraments, such as the sacrament of the sick and confession? Do we have a charismatic prayer group or a healing group that prays over us for that? And then there's ministry such as the one that Philadelphia uses, Unbound, which is all about deep healing, going into people, finding where their wounds are, and seeking healing. And I think that's so crucial. I know Philadelphia calls it the missing piece of evangelization, healing. And the more I hear of it, Steve Dawson of St. Paul Street Evangelization has really been focusing lately on the importance of healing. On the street, we offer people prayer for healing. And I think it's true. I think we're a lot of wounded people walking around. We don't even know what our wounds are, but they come out in anger, in hatred, in putting up walls, blaming other people, as opposed to seeking the healing that God wants for all of us. And it can take time, but to open ourselves to that, I think, is going to free us so that we're not going to be worried about me, but we're going to be so grateful for that healing, we're going to go out and heal others. I mean, St. Paul says we all have the ministry of reconciliation. And part of reconciliation is healing. It's healing whatever the divisions are, whatever the wounds are that have been created, so that not only can we come back to God, but we can come back to one another and ask for forgiveness and forgive and heal one another. So in the world today, I think especially in our culture, we have so much, and yet we have young people committing suicide, soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan committing suicide, the uptick in heroin overdoses. What is that? Why? And I think it's because of wounds of all kinds, and we need to reach out to those people and provide a healing environment. So we not only do we need the healing, but if we want to heal others, we have to undergo that transformation that Christ wants for us.
All right. If you would like to speak to Father Mike Mayer today, we would love to hear from you, especially if you actually attended this convocation. We would like to get your thoughts and any insights you may have about what went on at the convocation this past week. Or if you would like to speak about evangelization or any topic about the Catholic faith, give us a call right now. 1-877-511-5483. That's 1-877-511-LIVE. Or you can email your question to us, cac@thestationofthecross.com. Or you can post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Let's go to the phone lines right now, and we have Philip in Boston, Massachusetts. Welcome, Philip. You're on with Father Mike.
Good afternoon, Father. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. My question, Father, involves, I don't know if you're familiar with the prayer of St. Gertrude by any chance?
Yes, I am.
I recently got a prayer card of it, and I have since memorized it, and I know the whole indulgence that supposedly goes with it about saving 1,000 souls every time you say it, and for that reason I've kind of quite impulsively started saying it pretty much constantly throughout the day. And it's actually gotten to the point where I've been saying it so much that I'm actually starting to say it in my sleep.
Uh-huh.
And my question basically was, are those prayers valid? Am I actually saving souls in my sleep by doing that, or does it have to be more intentional than that? if you don't mind answering that for me.
No, of course, with all prayer, God answers them in God's way. So, you know, it says 1,000 souls. You know, we don't know in God's economy, in his way of doing things, what exactly happens with our prayers. But if our intention is to pray for those in need, God obviously can take it and work with it. Now, just a couple of things. How old are you?
I'm 25 years old.
Okay. I'm 63, going on 64. When I was a kid, one of the big things was what we call aspirations. Did you ever hear that? Aspirations? Short little prayers that we just offer up anytime. And we were encouraged to do that. So any time of the day to say, Lord, have mercy, or Lord, bless so-and-so, or whatever. And some people would do it, and they would say, well, I got up to 10,000 aspirations today. You know, and it's really a mindfulness of God. And then there is a Russian Orthodox classic, if you might want to read it. It's called The Way of a Pilgrim. The Way of a Pilgrim.
Yes, I have read that, actually.
Oh, you have read it. Well, then you know from that it says that if you take this prayer, the Jesus prayer, you're going to be doing it in your sleep because it's in your heart. So, you know, I would say that's not a bad thing if you're doing it in your sleep, and because what you've done is you have worked at it. You have trained to do that. So, you know, God takes any of those intentions, those attempts we make to be prayerful, whatever the prayer is, and can use them. So, you know, it's wonderful that you're doing in your sleep. I hope it doesn't keep you awake or anything.
No, well, you know, I guess it actually keeps me have a pretty good rhythm of a sleep schedule. So I guess God is in the prayer just in that way.
Well, good. Well, then, you know, that may be a great blessing. And I would encourage, you know, other people, again, you know, when I was a kid, aspirations were the big thing. I don't know that we think of that today, but wherever we are, no matter what we're doing, we can send these little, in fact, the desert fathers in Egypt used to talk about these quick, sharp prayers, like throwing a lance. Just throw it out there. Lord, have mercy. Throw it out there. Praise the Lord. Throw, you know, these quick prayers. And the fathers would say, that's really good prayer. You may have trouble sitting for an hour in silence, but everybody can be walking along and see a beautiful sunset. Say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for that beautiful sunset. It's really beautiful. Quick, easy prayer that goes to our hearts and to the heart of our relationship with Christ. So aspirations of all kinds, quick prayers, no matter where we are, wonderful opportunities to get it going. I'm having trouble sleeping, so maybe I need to do what you're doing so that I can, you know, have something that when I get a little restless, that prayer crops up. But that's wonderful. I'd say, yeah, if you got it while you're sleeping, good for you. Good for you.
How's that sound for you, Philip?
That sounds great. It's a very good affirmation. I appreciate that. And please know that I will be praying for Catholic Radio in my intentions. And if I could ask you gentlemen to please pray for me too, especially where I'm going through a transition in my employment right now, if you could please keep that in mind in your intentions.
Will do. God bless you, Philip. May the Lord be with you, and he will. God bless.
Thanks for the call today, Philip. We appreciate it. That's interesting, Father, that prayer, I guess prayer is also part of an aspect of evangelization, right? Praying for the conversion of sinners, or for although in my case, I guess in my case, sometimes I feel like I pray for conversion of sinners, or especially of people that I know who have maybe left the faith. But I wonder if that's also kind of a cop out. You know, well, I'm praying for you, but what else am I doing? Am I going out there? You know, like you said, go out.
And, you know. That's right. And I think the Pope keeps talking about the need to accompany people. He uses that word, accompany. I think that's it. You know, it's one thing, and it's in Scripture. I don't know exactly where it is, but it says that faith comes through hearing, not through the prayers of other people, but through hearing, meaning that someone comes up to me, talks about Jesus. So I hear that, and then the prayers can be effective and the other things, but that one-on-one contact is absolutely crucial for conversion, for ongoing growth in our lives. And again, you know, in the Catholic Church, we got so many types of prayers and prayer forms and rituals, and But do you know they become something I do as opposed to do I share them with other people? And of course, on the street, if you see someone and get talking and they're saying I got a real hard time, etc., to just say, can I say a prayer for you? You can do it quietly. Put your hand on their shoulder and just quietly say a prayer, an amen, or even better, to vocalize it. And you could come up, write it down before you go. Come up with a generalized prayer. Lord, bless X, fill in the blank of the name. May they know your love abundantly. Amen. Doesn't have to be long. But I think not only does that help other people, obviously, because it's prayer, but it helps us too, because it reminds us that we are called to be prayerful people. In fact, one person put it, we're wired for prayer. We are wired in our very being. We were created to be prayerful people, which is to say, wired to be in relationship with Jesus, and prayer is the way we converse, the way we relate, the way we are with Christ. So, you know, not to, it's like riding a bicycle. You have it down, but do you use it? Do you use the bicycle so you can get in better shape? The same with prayer. Do we actually use it outside of our houses or the chapels or whatever? Because it's a very, very, very powerful tool and weapon, and people appreciate it. I don't think we've ever found anybody who said, no, don't pray for me, or I don't want your prayer. No, people are, especially, you know, one of the things, it's really easy. If you see a woman who's pregnant, you know, and you're in a situation where you're talking with people, say, oh, I see you're pregnant. When you do, can I say a quick prayer for the health of your child? Or if, say, you know, my mom's sick, oh, can I say a prayer right now for your mom? And do it right then. You know, it's one thing to say, I'll go and pray. But right then and there, to include that other person in the prayer is a very great gift and a wonderful, powerful moment. Because what we're doing is, where two or three are gathered, Christ is there in a very powerful way. And we, every person, don't have to be ordained, don't have to have a degree in theology, but simply through baptism is called to be a priestly person, to lead other people in prayer. So it's part of our job description that comes with baptism.
All right, thanks again to Philip for that call. Philip from Boston, we appreciate it. If you would like to speak to Father Mike Mayer today, we would love to hear from you. We're having our own little convocation on evangelization here on Catholic Radio. 1-877-511-5483. That's 1-877-511-LIVE. Or you can email your question or comment to us, cac@thestationofthecross.com. Or you can post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross, Catholic Radio. We'll be right back with more with Father Mike Mayer after this. The Station of the Cross relies on the grace of God and the generosity of our listeners to continue sharing God's truth with the world. Donations of stock immensely benefit our mission. A transfer of stock from your investment portfolio to the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network is a great opportunity to use your investment to spread the gospel message. Transfer of stock is tax-free, so you can avoid a capital gains tax, and even in most cases, take a tax deduction for the full value of the stock. Because there is no tax, the amount of your donation is maximized, and the entire process is simple and easy. To learn more about this giving option, please call us at 1-877-888-6279. That's 1-877-888-6279. Or visit thestationofthecross.com. That's thestationofthecross.com. Thank you, and may God bless you for supporting the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network.
At the Station of the Cross, we proudly bring the truths of the Catholic faith to countless listeners through radio and mobile devices, and we're grateful for the feedback we've received.
They do not have a television, so they don't believe as much of anything on television as worth watching, so I do listen to your radio. So I just get very much inspiration from Catholic radio, and I just would like to say that I thank you all for being there 24/7. Anytime I want to flip on the radio, there you are, and there I am, and we are together, and we are sharing God's love that is given to us there. It is inspirational. It is beautiful, and I call it a work of art given to us that we are just using the gifts we've been given.
If you've been blessed through listening to the Station of the Cross, let us know. Call 1-877-888-6279. Then press 4 to share your testimonial with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Calling All Catholics on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. I'm Steve Cabral, here with Father Mike Mayer of the Diocese of Rochester, New York, for your Open Forum Thursday edition of the program. If you would like to speak to Father Mike today, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call right now at 1-877-511-5483. That's 1-877-511-LIVE. The email address, cac@thestationofthecross.com. You can post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. And if you would like to hear Father Mike's weekly homilies, like I do, you can go to podbean.com and search for Intensely Catholic. And you will find Father Mike's weekly homilies right there. And Father is also involved in the St. Paul Street Evangelization in Rochester area. And we're talking a little bit about evangelization today. The Bishop's USCCB convocation in Orlando was this past weekend. And if anyone is out there who actually attended or has any comments, we would love to get your insights or any questions you may have about evangelization or anything about Catholic faith. Give us a call. Let's go, Father, to a question that we got from Georgian from Pennsylvania, and she actually has two questions. I guess we'll take these one at a time. Georgian writes, when the Creed says the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, I read that to mean that the Holy Spirit came first. What does it mean that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son?
Good question, and you have just put your foot in a 1,500-year-old controversy that has been rubbing the Eastern and Western churches the wrong way for many, many years. Because in the creed that the Catholic Church uses, we say, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. In the Eastern churches, Orthodox in particular, they simply have the Spirit proceeds from the Father. So, In the Western Church, it was added, I don't know, around 400 AD, 450, I'm not sure exactly when, so that we have, as I say, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. We call that a double procession. And the Orthodox would say, no, it's just from the, just that the Son proceeds from the Father. So the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. You're adding something that is not accurate or exact. So this has been a real controversy, although lately I would say there's two camps. There's those in the Eastern Orthodox churches who are very rigorous about it, who reject any explanation, and there are those who have a more open understanding who say, yes, we understand what you mean by saying the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and that's fine. It's a little bit of a different theological take than the Eastern Church would have, and there's a lot of different theological takes, which we both have, which are both kosher in a sense. But so we would say that it's not that the Holy Spirit is created by Father and Son, and that may be some of the indication that Easterners want to get away from. But we would basically say that, and some people have put it, but again, it's not exact. So it's sort of a theology that it can never be totally exact, but that the Holy Spirit is coming forth, so to speak, as a result of the Father and the Son, the love of the Father for the Son, love of the Son for the Father. So we're not trying to say that the Holy Spirit's created, because the Spirit is not. The Spirit is fully God, one substance with the Father and the Son. So I don't know if that clarifies. If you want to read more about this, go online and simply type in filioque. That's the Latin. F-I-L, let me make sure I get the right spelling here. F-I-L-I-O-Q-U-E. F-I-L-I-O-Q-U-E. That will bring up lots and lots of sources, because that means and the Son. Proceeds from the Father and the Son. That's what filioque means. And you'll read the whole controversy. Now, it's interesting that when Eastern Orthodox patriarchs and officials, bishops, come over to Rome, for example, the popes generally drop that the filioque. So they say the creed with them without including proceeding from the Son. And it doesn't mean that the Catholic Church doesn't believe theologically what it has put in place, because we still say it every Sunday, but certainly as a respect and honoring the views of the Eastern Orthodox, we would remove that. Now, personally, I think of it as a big to-do about little, but then that's, you know, 1,500 years after it happened, and it's still kind of stirring the waters. But again, I think if you read some of this, go to Catholic websites, etc., and even Orthodox websites, and you get a variety of opinions on it. And many would say, well, okay, theologically we understand what you said, but you shouldn't have done it without the approval of the Eastern Church. Then we wouldn't have had this problem, etc., etc., etc. So it's still a bit of an issue, not certainly what it used to be.
All right, and Georgianne's second question, do those who pass away after the resurrection have a special grace or intimacy with Jesus that others who died before the resurrection did not?
That's a good question, too. I would say, yes, we do have something special because we have the knowledge of the Savior. We know he came. We have the New Testament. We know Jesus suffered and died. We know he became a human being. The people in the Old Testament simply hoped for that and longed for it, but they never saw it. So we have the privilege, so to speak, of experiencing that, certainly in the sacraments, because when we celebrate the sacraments, we are participating in the reality not only of the death of Christ on the cross, but of his resurrection. And so in the Old Testament, they didn't have the blessings and the graces that come with the sacraments and the prayers that we have. So we do have more. Now, as always, though, what does that mean? Do I use it properly? Do I believe it? Do I take it to heart? Do I know what my faith tells me? In other words, do I receive those blessings and use them? So we have so much more today than we did before the advent of Christ in terms of understanding the story, the narrative that God created for us. So, you know, we're going to be held very clearly responsible because we have been given so much.
It's funny how certain images from your childhood kind of stick in your mind. I recall these illustrations that were in my religion book, probably from like second grade or something, where those who passed away before the time of Jesus were there kind of behind the gate. You know, they were outside the gate with these longing, yearning looks on their faces. Oh, we've been waiting all this time, and we're still waiting for Jesus, or who they didn't know, maybe for a Savior to come and open those gates for us so that we can come in. And of course, on the next page, I guess there would be an illustration of Jesus coming down and opening those gates and the joy of all those people coming in.
So yeah, it's in my mind. Right, and one of the and you'll see this in great art, Christ ascending into hell and bringing up the patriarchs, and one beautiful icon is of Jesus reaching out his hand to Adam to pull him up into heaven. I mean, what a, you know, for many, many people, a visual is very important to help us see the dynamic love of God. So these beautiful icons, these beautiful pictures of Christ reaching out and pulling people up into heaven, because he's through his resurrection, through his death and resurrection, he opens the gates of paradise to everyone. So right, that the look of people, oh, come on, Lord, come on, Lord, come. Now, we have experienced that, fortunately, and we experience that, the reality in the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist. So we have an awful lot to thank God for, that we have seen the fulfillment, as Simeon said, of God's plan of salvation.
Thanks again, Georgianne, for that question, for those questions today. Very nice. Let's go next. Well, let me give the phone number again, 1-877-511-5483. We would love to hear from you today. 1-877-511-LIVE, L-I-V-E. Or you can email us, cac@thestationofthecross.com. You can post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Next, let's go to an email we got from Chris. And Chris writes to us, there is a prayer group in a nearby parish that says their meetings feature something called Lectio Divina. Can you explain what that is?
Mm-hmm. Lectio Divina, sacred reading, is a very ancient approach to prayer, and in particular, you will find it practiced in monasteries. Go to any Benedictine monastery, and the monks, the nuns are trained in that, in all the different types of monasteries. And it's basically taking the Bible, generally, and you could take any holy book and do it, but taking the Bible and reading it not just for information, but prayerfully. So that, for example, you take the daily gospel, prepare for Mass, you read it. As you're reading it slowly, not quickly, as I say, just for facts, but slowly, if you come to something, a word, a phrase, a sentence that kind of grabs your attention, you just stop. Just stop. Think about it for a moment. Go back and reread it again. Or go on, and then come back and reread it again. Oftentimes in a public practice of Lectio Divina, the reading is read twice. One slowly, and then maybe a question given. You know, what got stirred up in you as you listened to this particular reading from Scripture? Some time to think about that, pray about it, and then it's read again. This time what happened? Or nothing. It's okay. It doesn't matter. How would you like to, what would you like to say to God in response to what you experience as you heard the reading read to you, or if you read it quietly by yourself? So it's just a very, very simple form of prayer where we take Scripture, because it is the living Word of God, and we prayerfully read it, taking time to listen to it in our hearts. And if a word jumps out at us, you know, rather than just keep going, to just stop and maybe repeat the word, maybe repeat the phrase, and kind of ask ourselves, what's that all about? What's going on in me that really struck me at that moment? And if you want a practical experience of this kind of prayer, Lectio Divina, I do it every morning. If you go to the website, prayasyougo.org, and between each of those words, there is a hyphen, pray-as-you-go.org. It's put out by the Irish Jesuits, and it is a experience about 10, 11 minutes of Lectio Divina. There's a little music to introduce the meditation. Person comes on, reads the reading. There's a few questions which they ask. You sit there quietly. Then they read it again. And then at the end, you're invited to just say what's on your heart to the Lord, and to conclude with glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Very, very simple form of prayer, which it's wonderful that your parish has a prayer group like that, because it's a very ancient form of prayer. And as I say, you could also use other holy books, very classic books, but it's Scripture. That's the primary focus of Lectio Divina, holy sacred reading.
Thanks, Chris, for that question today. We appreciate it. 1-877-511-5483 is the number to call to talk to Father Mike Mayer today. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call right now, and we'll get you on right after the break. 1-877-511-5483. 511 Live. Or email us, CAC at thestationofthecross.com, or post on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay with us.
If you'd like to receive our Holy Father's monthly prayer intentions, sign up for the Station of the Cross e-newsletter. Not only will it keep you up to date on the Pope's latest intentions, but it'll also inform you about station news and much more. Visit thestationofthecross.com and click on the Contact button under the About tab. In less than a minute, you'll be set to receive the Station of the Cross e-newsletter every month. That's at thestationofthecross.com.
If you're new to iCatholic Radio, welcome to the free mobile app of the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network, available for download on both your Android and Apple mobile devices. If you have any questions about your new app, please contact us through our website, thestationofthecross.com, or by calling 1-877-888-6279. Through your new app, you can listen to podcasts of shows, conference talks, and prayers. You can also view our programming grid, call us directly, and check out our mobile website. Thank you for joining our iCatholic Radio family, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.
This is Father Peter Calabrese. Please join me in a prayer honoring St. Justin Martyr. Dear Savior, St. Justin struggled with his intellect in order to find you. I ask him to pray for those who are highly educated intellectuals. Guide them in overcoming the perceived need for everything to be logical and fully understandable. Lead them to the humility that is necessary for accepting the true faith. Amen.
If you find it difficult to pray the Rosary on your own, iCatholic Radio can help. Listen and pray along with the Rosaries located in the podcast section of our app. Thank you for listening to iCatholic Radio.
Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Calling All Catholics, a production of the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. I'm Steve Cabral, here with Father Mike Mayer for our Open Forum Thursday edition of the program. If you'd like to speak to Father Mike today, we'd love to hear from you. Call us right now, 1-877-511-5483. That's 1-877-511-LIVE. Or email us, CAC at thestationofthecross.com. Or you can post on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Or if you're an iCatholic Radio mobile app user, just go to the Contact Us tab and you can call us or email your question to us right from your mobile app. We just got a call from Kristen in Clarence, New York, with a prayer request. And she says, please pray for a man named Darren and his family. He fell 15 feet off his roof this morning and landed directly on his head. He was taken to Erie County Medical Center by Mercy Flight and is still in surgery.
Oh, loving God, we lift up Darren to you, asking for your prayers, your healing touch for him. Heal him in body and mind and soul. Give him what he needs to come back to his physical strength and health, that he may return to his family. During this time of need, bless his family, give them the courage and the strength to be with him prayerfully. And for all those who suffer, be their guide, so that they in turn may support one another as we all call on you for healing. Bless Darren abundantly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kristen, for calling in that prayer request and giving us the opportunity to pray with you for Darren and his family. Father, earlier you were talking about meditating on Scripture readings, and I've been meditating this week on the Gospel that we heard this past Sunday, where Jesus said, which he had said on a couple of occasions, I believe, that we must take up our cross and follow him. Now, I think, I'll speak for myself, we tend to take this kind of metaphorically, as in, you know, have our crosses to bear, kind of thing. But when he said this to his disciples, you have to take up your cross, what must they have been thinking when he said that? Because they must have known that carrying a cross meant you were going to be crucified.
Right, right. And literally, the cross was heavy. So you're right. I think we look upon it as a metaphor of, you know, whatever, if I'm having a bad day, oh, well, buck up and walk with it. As opposed, and you know, and this too, I'm sure there's some very good classic spiritual books on this, what the cross is all about. But I think too, we're very passive about it. We kind of wait around to have something happen, and then we call it a cross, the cross, whatever, as opposed to going in search of it, finding out. And then, of course, too, and I think we need to put this into the hopper as well. When Jesus was carrying his cross and he had difficulty with it, they pulled in Simon of Cyrene to help him. So not only do we have to carry our cross, but we're also called to help others carry their cross. And right there, that may be a whole area of prayer for individuals, a community to look more deeply into what the cross is all about and how people have experienced. I guess for Mother Teresa, she had that 40 years of darkness in terms of no felt experience of God. Well, that certainly is a cross. I'm not sure. I complain after half an hour with something like that. But, you know, so for her, and yet, we say, too, we glory in the cross, and that wonderful hymn, lift high the cross. You know, it doesn't make sense if we look upon the cross as a tool of execution, which, of course, it was. But somehow, in embracing the cross and the suffering that goes with it, we become, like Jesus, conquerors. So, you know, I'm thinking, I can't think offhand of any books that deal with that per se, but what a wonderful area, especially Good Friday, Holy Week. We do a lot of meditation on that, the seven last words and things like that. But every day, you know, we talk about, you know, Christ and following him and carrying our cross. And also, there's other images that writers put it. They talk about the cross being used by Christ as a plow, to plow up the land, to get it going. What a wonderful image. Or to look at the cross as a ladder, that if we truly embrace it, we're going to be able to climb it right into heaven following Christ. So there's so many connections and images that come with a cross. But it's a real thing, and it's not meant to be the little cross we wear around our necks, but it's supposed to be something heavy. And to, you know, when we say, Lord, I will suffer on behalf of other people, we better know what we're saying, because God's going to give us a cross in that sense, and we will have to carry it. Of course, with God's help, we will be able to carry it. But I think going out and embracing it, finding it, and helping other people carry the cross is, again, something that's easy to think about. But do we actually do it?
Now, most of us will not really be asked to, you know, submit to a crucifixion like Jesus did, or even, you know, some people who are dealing with disease or cancer like that, or these kinds of burdens. You know, a lot of us go about our lives, and I'll speak for myself. It, you know, got it pretty easy for the most part. So how can we kind of go about evaluating our lives so that we know whether or not are we really taking up the cross that Jesus is asking us to carry?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I think we medicate ourselves in so many ways so that we don't think about the reality of the cross. There was a book I bought recently. I'm still reading it, called Comfort Detox. It's by an evangelical woman, a writer, Comfort Detox. And she got kicked in the rear, so to speak, when she went to India and saw the reality of sex trafficking. And I'm trying to remember the word she used, but a wonderful word that suggests being really shook up that she was just shaken, and so she could not come back to this country and continue to do what she did. I think that's the track. We have to take a look at what are the comforts in our lives that have anesthetized us to the reality of suffering to begin with, our own suffering as well as the suffering of others, and what are we doing to peel away layer after layer of all this stuff I have added to my life, which has nothing to do with the gospel, which is not important, and can really help me to hide from the reality of the cross in my own life, the reality of the need that I have for healing and the need that I have to go forth and proclaim the gospel. So I think we have a lot that we can do, but we have to decide we're going to do it. Peel away all that junk, that garbage, that decay that we've taken on.
All right, I'm going to work on that a little bit.
Well, we all need it, boy.
All right, let's go to a question now that we got from Amanda. Amanda wrote to us, how would you describe what it means for something or someone to be blessed? I was thinking about how that word applies, whether in the sense of a priestly blessing or the blessing of an object, or when Our Lady says all generations will call her blessed.
Mm-hmm. I think basically those are blessed who know the Lord, who know that the Lord is their strength, is the fullness of life. I think in a nutshell, that's what blessed means. So when Our Lady says that they will call her blessed, is because she knew the Lord and she cooperated. She said yes. So we too are constantly being offered blessings, graces from the Lord, so that we can know the Lord more and say yes. And what I was just talking about, detoxing ourselves from the way of the world, it's blessed, I suppose, when the Lord kind of gives us a situation where we can see more clearly what the reality of our relationship with God is all about, what God's calling us to, so that we can accept those blessings. We can accept the Lord, the reality of the Lord in our lives, which comes at a cost. It does, because I have to let go of myself. Jesus emptied himself out, taking the form of a slave. Can I do that so that I can be not only accepting of God's blessings to me, but therefore I can be a blessing to other people because I am showing people, walking with people, helping people to understand what the truth is. And it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about me, what I've done or accomplished, but rather how God wants to shower blessings on me freely. But am I so focused on me and doing this, that, or the other thing, having my way, that my hands are closed so I can't receive those blessings and know the Lord in my life?
Thank you, Amanda, for that question today. We've got about a minute and a half to go, Father, and we have a question here from Susan who asks, Father, generally, how often would you recommend that Catholics go to confession? Do you think every week is too much, and is the required once a year not enough?
Well, a spiritual director said to me, if you... And this is just his opinion, that 6 to 8 weeks for most lay people, if they, have not sinned seriously, and you can define that any way you want. As a devotional practice, if you want to go every week, that's fine. I would say this, whatever you do, don't make confession the be-all and end-all, because we need to literally work on what we confess so that we're not confessing the same thing every week or every 6 weeks or every, and that's what I'm finding. People say the same thing. So I go to a spiritual director and I go to confession when I go to the spiritual director. But for me, my spiritual director helps me to take those areas of sin and say, what's that all about? What's going on? What are you not letting go of? What are you not doing in your life? So that hopefully over time, I'm going to see even my confession changing. Now, I will say this too, the more you kind of focus on that, if you have the luxury or the joy of having a spiritual director, you're going to find out other areas of sin pop up. And you say, oh my God, I never thought of that. But yes, it's true. That's good. That's a wonderful thing. So don't just make confession the be all end all, but get into a prayer group, get into a Lectio Divina group, get in a group of faith sharing so that you can actually work at those areas of sin in between confessions.
Thanks, Susan, for that question today. Father, may we have a final blessing, please.
May Almighty God continue to shower us with His mercy and His blessing, that we may be on fire with the gospel and go out to all the world to proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. May all be blessed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father Mike.
You're welcome.
And thank all of you for listening today. Tune in again tomorrow for our Friday edition of the program. We will have Father Dave Baker here to answer your questions. Meanwhile, this is Steve Cabral for all of us here at the Station of the Cross, wishing you a very pleasant evening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Station of the Cross. The Station of the Cross is a listener-funded, nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please consider making a donation. Donations can be made through our website, thestationofthecross.com, or by calling 1-877-888-6279. You can also donate right through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app. Thank you for listening to and supporting the Station of the Cross, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.